Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is David Butter, a Syria analyst affiliated with London's Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Syria is back in the limelight. Russia's Putin, Turkey's Erdogan, and Iran's Rouhani, all major players in the country, are holding a video conference on the subject, and the European Union and others are talking billions in humanitarian assistance for a country ripped apart by almost a decade of civil war. What are the most pressing problems right now in Syria? Ceasefires, safe zones, reconstruction, the coronavirus pandemic?
The most important issues facing Syria at the moment are the economy and I think related to that also the coronavirus pandemic. The security issues obviously have not gone away, they're still there, but there's no indication at the moment of any imminent big change in the various situations involving military forces in the country. The economic situation has got considerably worse for the vast majority of Syrians, whether in government or non-government areas, during the course of this year, for various reasons. I think probably it's been a combination. I mean, one has just been the sheer longevity of this conflict and the extent to which it's ground down the country. But the critical change, in my view, was the collapse of the Lebanese financial system at the end of last year, and that was reflected in a real surge in inflation in Syria as the role Lebanon played as a kind of clearing house for foreign exchange transactions for Syria was severely curtailed, and we've seen this in a number of indicators, whether that's the black market rate for the Syrian pound, which was devalued by well over 50%, or in the proxy indicators for food inflation done by the UN's World Food Programme, which shows a year-on-year rate probably of around 300% at the moment. So clearly this is the main issue. And on top of that, we've had the CSAR sanctions imposed by the United States. Although so far, I think this has had more of a kind of secondary or psychological impact rather than having any direct effects on the Syrian situation. We've obviously seen a strong response from Western donors for humanitarian aid for the next year. We've had pledges of around $7.7 billion, very strong buy-in from the European side, and indeed also from the United States, in order basically to keep the humanitarian aid flowing to more than 5 million Syrians around the country living as refugees, and you know, anything up to 10 million or more Syrians inside the country who are dependent on international aid.
You are listening to David Butter, a Syria analyst affiliated with London's Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. What do Russia, Turkey, and Iran want in Syria now? They don't necessarily support the same side, and it's the kind of place that can quickly turn into quicksand.
As regards the various security calculations, the upcoming talks in the Astana process involving Russia, Turkey, and Iran, I think we haven't really seen any kind of dramatic changes, but I think as far as Russia and Turkey are concerned, they are increasingly, I wouldn't say colluding, but they're coordinating, finding areas of common interest across northern Syria. Turkey is looking at consolidating its zone in the northwest, extending that into the parts of Idlib that are still under opposition control. Turkey and Russia are effectively enforcing a ceasefire between the opposition forces led by HTS, Al-Qaeda offshoot, and the Assad regime along the highway going through the middle of Idlib. And Turkey has been willing to cooperate with a Russian interest in extending its own writ eastward along the border and nibbling away at the autonomous administration operated primarily by Kurds with United States and European support. And Russia, I think, ultimately would like to make inroads into that region, which would ultimately also be to the advantage of the Assad regime. But I don't think that Russia is contemplating anything dramatic. And I don't think at the moment that Russia is willing to sign off or lend any real support to a renewed offensive by President Assad's forces to either take the rest of Idlib or to push against the Kurdish forces in the northwest. So I think, you know, we have a kind of a holding situation in that regard.
Iran's presence in Syria seems to be drawing ever-increasing attention from Israel, with numerous attacks and occasionally Israel taking responsibility for them. Is this a potential spark for yet another Syrian conflagration?
The question of Iran in Syria and, you know, how other parties in the region, in particular Israel, look on Iran's involvement there. I'd say that, again, we don't see a huge amount of change. Iran does have long-term strategic interest in maintaining a powerful and influential role in the region. As far as the Israeli military are concerned, that has included ongoing efforts to upgrade the quality of the forces that it's deploying there, in particular precision-guided rocketry that Israel's fairly constant trying to disrupt. But of course, Iran also will have deep concerns about the risks of its own strategy in the region being totally undermined by the financial collapse in Lebanon.
David Butter, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.